Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show by Silker Joe Show. Co-host Joe filling in for Alan today. Unfortunately, he is off dealing with his poor little doggy's illness. However, he'll be back tomorrow, depending on how the vet visit goes, I assume. But if Alan were here with us today, he would give to you his mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. And we certainly want them away from our dogs, because there was this new report that came out recently saying that you shouldn't own a dog because they're responsible for climate change. So to heck with Democrats, they want to come after your dogs now, apparently. And you've all heard poor little Elvis, Alan's dog. You've heard him barking on the radio before in the background, whether it was me guest hosting for Alan or Alan himself hosting. So we're pretty much opposed to Democrats trying to interfere with your dogs, as well as your First and Second Amendment rights. And Republicans can just stay out of both of those as well, but they hadn't come for dogs yet. Anyway, though, so we want to thank you all for tuning into this program. We want to thank the Main Street Radio Network as well for letting this program continue to exist. Well, we say that like they have total control over it. Alan has been separate from them. He started in 1998. He's longest-running nationally syndicated centrist talk host in the country. He just partnered with the Main Street Radio Network for various reasons involving not having to go hat in hand to sponsors all the time and watch what he says because of fear that a sponsor will back out on him. And Main Street Radio Network, they handle all that for us. So we appreciate that. We appreciate their support of the First Amendment, their support of us saying whatever we care to within FCC guidelines, even though sometimes they disagree with what we say. So we appreciate that. If you want to show support, you go to MainStreetRadioNetwork.com and find out more about the Alan Nathan Show up there, find out podcasts about the show up there, find the Silker Joe Show up there as well, and podcasts for that too, all on MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. But don't forget AlanNathan.com. Alan's got his own website with his columns and everything right up there, AlanNathan.com. And he's on social media. Of course, he posts under Facebook and Twitter and Wimkin, WIMK, under Main Street Radio Network's pages. But he has his own Twitter page at AlanNathan. And we want to thank the Salem Radio Network as well for distributing the show. Now, on those social media pages, you will find Alan's topics for the day. Well, if mine are up there, if I remember to get them out there, then this is how they would read. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Noem smashes House Democrats' lies about Trump administration deporting Americans at committee hearing, but Democrats claim victory anyway. Are people buying it? Also, Democrats and RINOs oppose bringing manufacturing back to America, with former Biden Transportation Secretary Buttigieg saying we have too many regulations. Is that an admission government is the problem and he was part of it? So I'll start with that first topic. First, though, about the immigrants and all that. I mean, just reading now about how this judge has decided that Trump has to immediately resettle 12,000 migrants. Okay, I say go with it. Figure out where this judge lives and stick him in his neighborhood. See how he likes it. But yeah, this is, of course, the Ninth Circuit Court. You know, might remember them from Trump's first term, how they were the go-to for all these left-wing causes or whatever. But in this case, Trump suspended with an executive order refugee resettlement and until 90 days until he got a report whether or not it would be within the government's interest to continue it. Well, this judge was having none of that. All these organizations who make their profit off of resettling refugees and immigrants, because that's how they get their money, they came in with the lawsuit because they have the money to do that. And said Trump was cutting into our bread and butter, so you got to stop him. You got to start this resettling. We need all of these people resettled into the country somewhere because that's how we make our money. You're hurting our jobs. And also, I guess there's something about immigrants too, but it's mostly our jobs that you're hurting and the money that we're getting and the corruption and graft and grift. And so this judge was like, I hear you. I am appointed by Biden to do this thing, and I will do this thing. Therefore, Trump, you cannot stop this resettling. You have to do it. So that is where we are at with this policy. And this judge has just ordered that Trump immediately resettle 12,000 refugees into the U.S. And like I said, stick them in the neighborhoods of this judge. Stick them in the neighborhoods of the activists. Just give it to them. They want them? Give it to them. Right down their throats. And anyway, but as far as deportations go, again, that's something else where these activist judges are out there demanding that Trump stop deporting people, apparently, because even though, especially under the Alien Enemies Act, it says right there at the top that it's not subject to judicial review. So naturally, these district judges decide, well, we're judicial review and we're going to judicial review this, even though it's not subject to our power. Because Democrat judges don't actually read the law. They just tell you what the law should be in whatever moment is going through their head at the moment, depending on their moods, depending on the cycle of the moon or whatever hysteria that they're going through. That's what decides the law, not the actual words on the paper. So, and needing the approval of 677 such judges kind of really impedes the work of a conservative president. And thus we have these judges out there trying to stop deportation orders, and Democrats in Congress are badgering over deporting citizens, but it's not clear exactly who they think a citizen is, because if you'll recall, they have it twofold here at the moment. First, they're trying to say that Trump is unlawfully or needlessly or abusively deporting citizens when he's deporting anchor babies with their families, and the families say they want to take the babies with them. That's not abusive. Democrats would be complaining about abuse if Trump broke up the families. Wasn't that a whole thing during Trump's first term, separation of families? It was okay when Obama did it, of course, during his first term, and it was okay when Biden kept the process up into his term. But when Trump was doing it, that was terrible, separating these families. How could you? And yet, Democrats are saying that he's terrible for not separating families by keeping the babies here that are citizens and sending their family home. So, which is it, Democrats? Actually, what they really want is for everyone who comes into the country to stay here forever and immediately be subject to a welfare program. They don't really care that it's going to raise the crime rates, hurt the welfare of the country, not to mention the welfare of the welfare programs that they're on. And it's going to lead to the probably enormous tax hikes on American citizens to foot the bill. Democrats don't really care about that because they think they get cheap votes this way. And certainly they get enforcers in the form of these gangs that take over apartment complexes and whatnot that Democrats approve of. I mean, you remember how Martha Raddatz, ABC News' Martha Raddatz, during the 2024 campaign, when she confronted J.D. Vance about the apartments taken over, she said, "Why do you care? Nobody cares about this. Nobody cares about it." So that is the general attitude of Democrats, and they don't care about your response either, and they don't care that they might be lying, because they're accusing of deporting citizens or whatever. Kristi Noem, she actually tried to interrupt them when they were throwing out these accusations, and they told her, "We're not questioning you." So that pretty much summarizes the Democrats' position right now. We're just here to make statements and scream really loudly. You're just here to listen. And that is all that you shall do. But why are they favoring all of these non-citizens, though? I mean, it seems a little self-destructive, because they seem to have lost the Hispanic vote in the last election over issues like border security, right? So actually, Congressman Henry Cuellar, Democrat out of Texas, he outright said it. That is one of the biggest reasons that they lost the Hispanic vote, was because of border security, Democrats not taking the issue seriously. So what's the Democrats' solution now? To stop Trump from doing border enforcement and to tell you and to lie about what he's actually doing. First they started out with saying that all these sob stories about how the illegal immigrant community is scared now of all the ICE raids. And then they moved it on to say now the regular legitimate immigrants are scared of the ICE raids, even though they're not coming for them. They're still scared of them. And now they're up saying, well, Trump is deporting citizens. Now, first they started trying to say that El Salvadorans were citizens of the U.S., like residents of El Salvador, no dual citizenship, no nothing, were residents of the U.S. when they weren't. That's what the Kilmar Garcia thing was. If you recall the news coverage for that, they never actually said that he was a citizen of El Salvador. They referred to him as a Maryland man, a resident of Maryland, and all the congressmen and congresswomen who went down to visit him, they said that they are trying to bring him home, meaning the United States, even though home for him legally is El Salvador, which is where he is now, at least as far as his citizenship status goes. So That didn't quite work out. So now there's this thing with these mothers who want to bring their children with them when they get deported, and now we're being told that that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that because you're deporting Americans, referring to the babies and the children. So what would the Democrats have us do with them? Well, let's look to what the Biden administration did when they had all these children. The Biden administration had 300,000 children that they let in, not necessarily citizens, mostly illegal immigrants, but Health and Human Services trafficked them. Sex slavery, regular slavery, that's where they ended up, under the auspices of the Biden administration's Health and Human Services. So is that what Democrats want to happen to these babies that are left behind when their parents are deported? Actually, it probably is, because everything Democrats have done has just been to agitate the problem, to create good press for themselves and bad press for the Trump administration. They don't actually care about who is hurt by keeping criminal gang members in the country. They don't care about who dies. Gee whiz, they actually said, Congresswoman Ansari from Arizona said, people killed by illegal immigrants are a distraction from the issue of the rights of illegal immigrants to enter the country. So that is what they believe. They don't actually care about lives, so it makes sense they wouldn't care about children being trafficked either. More Alan Nathan Show after this break.
The New York International Auto Show is back, highlighting the latest in the automotive world. Brian Moody, executive editor at Auto Trader, has more.
The New York International Auto Show is the perfect opportunity to keep track of what's happening in the automotive world. Founded in 1900, it's been the longest-running, most attended show in North America for over 20 years. With two spacious floors and manufacturers from all over the globe, it features the latest and greatest in automotive technology.
This year's show presents an expanded EV test track showcasing the latest technology in electric vehicles and plug-in hybrids.
One of my favorite EVs gets notable upgrades in terms of performance, design, and technology. The 2025 Kia EV6 gets new LED headlights, daytime running lights, and a bigger battery. Plus, it also includes the North American charging standard, which is new for that car, and that makes it more convenient to own.
For more information on Kia's EVs, visit kia.com.
Celebrate Trails Day is Rails to Trails Conservancy's annual springtime celebration of America's trails. Hundreds of events and thousands of people will come together all across the country to show off the ways that trails make America great. It is so good for us, and it is good for our communities when we get outside on the trail. We come together, we meet our neighbors, we make new friends, and we build quality of life. Trails are also part of a strong economy. Over $34 billion each year is generated by tourism, small businesses, jobs, health cost savings that trails generate. And it's fun and it's safe when we're out on the trail. We're separated from traffic. We're able to kind of be free and relaxed with our friends and our family. It is so much more than a day outside. It is a day of action, showing off how important these spaces are to our lives and to our communities. We hope you'll join us. Go to railstotrails.org/celebratetrails to find events near you, to find trails near you, and learn all the ways you can engage.
My baby brother, a father.
Come on, it's time for his nap.
Whoa, he can't sleep on his stomach. Babies should always sleep on their backs in a safety-approved crib, and the sleep area should be clear of blankets, toys, and other loose or soft items. It reduces the risk of SIDS.
SIDS?
You know, sudden infant death syndrome.
Guess I need to start studying up on safe sleep for little man here. Being his favorite uncle comes with big responsibilities.
For more information, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov, sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. You want to give your baby everything, so start with a safe sleep area. Babies younger than one should always be placed to sleep on their backs on a firm and flat surface, like a safety-approved crib. And keep blankets, pillows, and other soft or loose items out of the crib when the baby is in it. Learn more about safe sleep for babies at safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show by Silker Joe Show co-host Joe filling in for Al today, unfortunately, while he's handling his ailing puppy. And we are joined for this segment by Jeremiah Mosteller. I left out a T there. I keep doing that. He is Policy Director at Americans for Prosperity. Jeremiah Mosteller, appreciate being in the show. How are you today?
Hey, Joe. I'm doing good, and I couldn't be more excited to be joining you on the show today.
Yep, glad to have you. So, you know, there's all this work that DOGE has done looks really great, but I guess the next Democrat to come into office can easily undo it. All you have to do is rehire everyone who was fired. And, you know, for all the talk about the Trump tax cuts being the, if they expire, that being the largest tax hike in the country, I can only imagine what's going to happen if these DOGE cuts are not made permanent somehow, how big a tax hike it's going to be to try and restore everything that was lost.
Joe, that's 100% correct. I mean, we've seen the Trump administration move faster and more comprehensively than any administration ever to reduce the size and bloat in the federal government. But on day one of a future administration, they could undo it all. So that's why we need Congress to step in here, and they need to take the 150 executive orders the president has done, all the billions of dollars that DOGE has saved, and they need to enshrine those in law, so that some future Democrat administration cannot just come back in, regrow the government to the terrible size that it was, and impose even more debt on our children and grandchildren.
Now, the fact that the presidency was allowed to grow the executive branch to the point where it had this much power, to where a lot of Congress's lawmaking power was usurped by the bureaucracies, the fact that Congress let that kind of happen, does it really bode well for the willingness of Congress to institute any kind of reforms that would make the DOGE cuts permanent?
Joe, I mean, I think we all as Americans have to always have a little bit of a skeptical eye and, you know, a little grain of salt with Congress, because you're right, they tend to not like to do a lot of things. But I think for the first time ever, what we're seeing happen is this topic is actually something people want to talk about. They have multiple caucuses, both on the Senate and House side. They have a subcommittee focused on government efficiency. So there's real candid conversations being had about this topic. And also at the same time, you brought up the tax cuts. They need to be able to put some cost savings alongside those tax cuts if they're going to be able to pass them through the reconciliation mechanism. And so now's the time to do it. Now's the time to take the playbook that the DOGE team has created, add that in alongside the tax cuts, and let's save money for the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and hopefully they can separate this concern about Elon Musk and all that and the Democrats' talking points about him from the good work that DOGE actually does, and not try not to, you know, associate one with the other so much that they don't want to be stained by it.
Joe, that's right. I mean, our chapters across the country at AFP, where we work in all 50 states, we hear it each and every day. Americans are eager for Congress to reduce the size and scope of the federal government, as well as cut red tape and regulations. And we see in the polling that bears out. Democrats, Republicans, independents, they all believe that the federal government is full of waste, fraud, and inefficiency, and they want to see Congress and the president solve that problem. So it's across partisan lines. So, yes, folks may disagree on a particular action or another, but they all agree that they want to see this done. And we know that even the folks who are leaders in Washington on the Democratic Party that say that this is bad, if you look back 10 years ago, you can see actual videos of them saying that they want to see either some of these exact things or these goals achieved. And so it's really interesting to see how fast people change.
Yeah, under the Obama administration, Obama set up something that was supposed to be kind of like DOGE. It was supposed to be led by Joe Biden. Nothing seems to have come of it. And then you had earlier this year some podcasters from that talk show Pod Save America. It's a bunch of ex-Obama administration officials running the program. And they said, gee whiz, we wish that Obama had done something like DOGE. He would have been super popular if he had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we see the same thing from the Clinton administration, where we saw Schumer, Pelosi, and others who are now demonizing the government efficiency efforts, praising what Clinton had done to save federal government money and to reduce the number of staff and the number of regulations. And so, like you said, it's really interesting to see how fast people's tunes change whenever they now are out of power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and from Democrats that I've talked to, a lot of them seem in favor of it. They just say that they don't like Trump's methodology and they don't like Elon Musk. They don't trust them or whatever. And they think it's all happened way too fast, faster than humanly possible. So there seemed to have been willingness even among the voters. And you said that the polls bear that out. But then they just disagree with the methods. But then again, what were the methods that have happened before?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, then, Joe, what I would tell them is, hey, guess what? Elon's gonna be stepping away here in a few weeks. So how about you come to the table now, Democrats, and join with your Republican colleagues in the administration, and let's continue the progress that has happened here, and let's leverage even more resources across parties and across the branches to achieve these goals.
Yeah, I guess the concern here is that they put up a grandstand to block Trump from doing it, and then in, say, 2028 or even during the midterms next year, they run on being the ones to do it all.
That's right. And the reality is that this was always going to be a long-term project. DOGE has found $160 billion in cuts, and that is a lot of money, but that's nowhere near the level that we need to take a look at when it comes to bloat within the federal government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just see bureaucracies expanding themselves. And then I remember that Congress itself, some roles happen where it's like it became sort of a hierarchy with them. Like the bigger the section of the executive branch that you have oversight over, the more prestigious you are. So there was no real cause in Congress for trying to cut these programs, maybe give lip service to it, but don't actually cut them because you're actually cutting into your own prestige by cutting this organization that you have all this oversight over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joe, and that's why one of my colleagues has this really exciting but so simple idea that there should be a federal budget instead of dozens of different bills that cover different departments. Federal government should have to budget just like your family and my family does, just like states do, where all the revenue, all of the spending is in one comprehensive budget, and they are forced to make those trade-offs rather than making trade-offs within silos and then passing these massive spending packages that include 13 different bills where no trade-offs are made between the different agencies.
Yeah, and you know that some of these agencies, too, have the practices where in order to make sure their spending is the same as it was last year, they spend it on a bunch of wasteful stuff if they don't need it, because they know that if they spend less, they will get less.
That's right. Yeah, that's the joke in Washington. You have to use every single cent that you're given, and you have to tell them you need more next year, regardless of whether you actually need it or not.
Yeah, it's reminding me of the IRS hearings where, in 2014, they were raked over the coals for wasting their money on a $2 million conference. But then, just a few months later, IRS is before Congress saying, we need more money. And the Democrats in Congress who previously were excoriating them were like, yes, we agree, you need more money.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. And I think one of the bills that we've been talking a lot about with members of Congress is called the Reorganizing Government Act. And to be blunt, this would be a very common sense bill that would solve this problem. And it would allow the government to propose agency reorganization to Congress, and Congress can approve it. And so it would allow us to actually get rid of things we don't need.
All right. Well, Jeremiah Mostar, where can we find out more about Americans for Prosperity? We got like 10 seconds left here.
Yeah, AmericansForProsperity.org. And if your folks have ideas, DogeIdea.com.
All right, listeners, you can go check that out. We're coming up to a break, but we got more Alan Nathan Show on the other side.
In 2007, author Jacqueline Davies introduced the best-selling children's novel, The Lemonade War, a clever blend of humor, math wizardry, and business know-how that follows two siblings competing to have the best lemonade stand ever. Now, The Lemonade War is brought to life as a full-color graphic novel with vivid illustrations by Karen de la Vega. The Lemonade War is a poignant and funny story about the powerful bond between a brother and sister, even when they're at odds with each other. Author Jacqueline Davies.
I think the graphic novel format breathes new life into this story. Whether kids already know Evan and Jesse or if they're new to the Lemonade War, I think they'll really enjoy the vibrant, dramatic, colorful, nuanced illustrations that show the brother and sister struggling with their epic battle. Of course, the heart of the story is still about family and about the lessons that Evan and Jesse learn about themselves and about each other.
The Lemonade War graphic novel is now available wherever books are sold. The fan-favorite series Leverage Redemption returns for its third season April 17th on Prime Video. The show follows a team of reformed criminals who prove sometimes it's good to be bad as they use their less-than-legal skills to help those in need fight back against the rich and powerful. In Season 3, the team pits themselves against a power broker stealing the town's clean water, a pool hustler with a side business in international extortion, and a corrupt mayor who's the judge and jury of his small town, all while dodging a plan of vengeance from a past enemy. But no matter what, when someone needs help, they provide the leverage. Elise Shannon plays Brianna Casey, a brilliant engineer and hacker.
Audiences will love this new season. It's filled with big surprises, major action, lots of humor, and as always, a lot of heart. My character Brianna is still learning about the world of cons, but she brings her own spin to everything. Snarky humor, it's high tech, and she helps the team stop some truly awful people.
Don't miss Leverage Redemption, April 17th on Prime Video.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon? Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. By Silk or Joe Show co-host Joe filling in for Alan today while he is unfortunately dealing with his ailing puppy. We'll know the results of that if he's back tomorrow or not. But we are joined for this segment by John O'Connor. He's a former assistant U.S. attorney in Northern California representing the United States and has also represented Mark Felt regarding the media's revelation of his identity as Deep Throat during the Watergate scandal. He hosts the Mysteries of Watergate podcast, and his latest book is Postgate, How the Washington Post Betrayed Deep Throat, Covered Up Watergate, and Began Today's Partisan Advocacy Journalism. John O'Connor, happy having the show again. How are you today?
Hey, good to be with you.
I guess in your career, you've seen a lot of this, all these federal judges who are out there and all these federal appeals courts, whatnot, that are challenging the Trump administration. There's always a judge out there with their own idea of what the law should be, regardless of how the law actually should be or is written. What's your take, though, on all these judges going after the Trump administration?
Well, you know, I can see it. I would have expected that. I would have predicted it. If you asked me about it before any of it happened and said, here's what Trump's going to do, I'd say, well, you're going to get a firestorm of judges and lawyers coming after you. And here's why. Here's the essential problem. The Due Process Clause is a very broad clause and in the Constitution that requires some form of hearing before you take away anybody's liberty or property interests. If you're going to go to jail, you got to have a due process hearing before the jail. If they're going to take away your house, you need a due process hearing. So everybody gets due process. That's in the law, and it applies not just to citizens, but to a, quote, person, unquote. So judges say, gee, you know, everybody gets due process, right? We're great. We're activist judges and so forth. And this is probably the last 60 years this is what's happened since the 1960s. Now, here's the problem. If you're an illegal immigrant, it's one thing if you're going to put an illegal immigrant in jail, they get due process. If you're going to take away a green card that they have legitimately, that's an interest they have in that green card. You need a due process hearing. But here, these folks are here illegally, and the judges don't seem to realize that even though they get due process, there's no liberty or property interest that is being taken away. They don't have one. But these courts presume that there must be something that they're taking away. After all, they're kicking me out of the country. That's bad, isn't it? Well, remember, you're not kicking out a citizen who has the legal right to be here. Now you're taking away a legal right. These guys don't have a legal right, so you're not taking away a legal right. However, here's what happens. Joe Biden, Barack Obama, on their own executive order, without getting any sanction from anybody, from a court, from the legislature, allow people to come in and so forth and say, oh, you get parole. I'm going to give you executive parole. I'm going to give you delayed action. Well, that's just simply discretion of an executive. Now, Trump comes in and he tries to exercise discretion the other way and says, okay, in my discretion, I'm taking these rights away from you. No. Now you can't do it. See, now the courts say you can't do it. So I think they're wrong, but it's an intellectual problem that has been with us for 60 years, and I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. I think there has to be a rethinking of what rights you get merely because you have successfully evaded the process. If you come over the border within the first 14 days and somebody grabs you, they have the right to just grab you by the collar and shove you across the river again. Okay, they can do that within 14 days. But after 14 days, for whatever reason, it's an arbitrary figure, oh, now you've got to go through the process and you've got to have a hearing and you got to get a removal order and so forth. And then the system is so backed up they may never find you, and the guy melts into the country and never more to be seen again. When you finally get him, let's say 10 years later, you pick a guy up for a burglary and you find out that he snuck across the border 10 years ago or didn't show up at his hearing. There are actually regulations out there that say, well, if you're here 10 years, you get to stay here. You get to stay here. Now, what kind of a system do we have? And we have to reckon with it. Right now, we have to reckon with this. But right now, judges are going to enforce this due process stuff. And, you know, now I'll tell you one guy. Now I'll add something for you. There's one guy that probably does have a legitimate beef who's gotten a ton of due process already, and this is this Abrego Garcia. He had a ton of due process. He's had a couple hearings. He's had lawyers. He's had everything. The problem is that one of the judges that heard his case said, you're out of here. You don't have any rights. You don't have asylum. But we can't. I'm ordering the government not to deport you to El Salvador because you think you're in danger. Well, now there's a ruling. He does have, actually, Abrego Garcia does have a legitimate right to say, I need a hearing before you take away that order. You modify that order that I got in a due process hearing. So really, got to tell you, be frank, what we should have done probably is we should have flown the guy back, talked to the guy in El Salvador, the president, said, okay, give him back to us. We'll bring him back here for a while, and we'll go through a due process hearing and change that a restriction on his deportation. Once we do that, we'll give him back to you, okay? And so that could have been done, and I'm not so sure if I were the Trump administration, I wouldn't have done that, rather than try to fight it out. It's very popular politically, but legally, you know, they're going to lose this thing.
Actually, the Trump administration, in my opinion, didn't have to go to all that trouble. They could have just gotten him back, sent him to another country, and then El Salvador picks him up from that one. It's not us that deported him to El Salvador. It's the other country that did. So,
well, that's the most brilliant thing I've heard. I never thought of that one. Yeah, that's good. That is good.
I appreciate the compliment, though. I don't know if I like having such a sneaky mind, but...
No,
anyway.
It's a good one. You could have done that. That's a really good point. I really hadn't thought of that.
Well, thank you. So the fact that the Trump administration hasn't done that, though, I mean, they're just trying to stick it out, like you said. And the rumor has it, though, the House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, he came out and told fellow Democrats, this isn't the hill to die on. Stop pushing this matter. And I don't think they have. You got all these Democrats going down to visit him. They've tried to make him the poster child of the whole deportation thing for the moment, anyway, until they find a better one.
Yeah, well, that's their problem. Their problem is what they're really doing when they go down there is they're highlighting the ridiculous procedures we have in place that are really harming our country. That's what they're doing. They're saying, yes, we can all agree that he probably has some rights. I think most people probably think that. He probably has some legitimate due process rights, but we don't think it's right that he has those rights. That's what most people feel. So the fact that the Democrats are going out of their way to show concern for this guy, they shouldn't. The Democrats should say, oh, we got a terrible system. We got to change the system. But no. They go down there and say, yeah, let's have a couple of margaritas and we'll pat you on the head and talk about what a great father you are. It's bad politics for the Democrats. Everyone should be up in arms at our system and saying, we got to change it. We got to reform it. And look what happens when you get Obrega Garcia. It's really a ridiculous system. So let's get real here. We cannot sustain this. If you simply deported, went through the process, the legal process, even if we have only 11 million immigrants, of course, we've got about 30 million, but if we only had 11, the official number, that's going to cost us a minimum of $1 trillion by most of the estimates from these NGOs, and I think they're pretty conservative estimates that it costs $1 trillion. So do we really want to do that? I don't think so. So I think most people would be content with just getting the criminals out and letting the nice people stay.
Yeah, I did the math on this one time. I forgot the exact numbers that I came up with. But like if all these we only have 700 some odd immigration judges in the country. So if, say, all 11 million of them got their day in court and the judges only did 5 hearings a day and they only did them 5 days a week and didn't get the holiday and got the holidays off, too. I'm not a lawyer. I just assumed 5 hearings a day. I don't know how many they actually could
do. Yeah, no, you're probably right. You're probably right.
But,
that's probably right. Yeah.
It was something in there. Actually, I think I had the 25 million figure for the immigrants, and it was like 10, 15 years before everyone got out of the country at least.
Well, that's right. That's right. We don't have that's why I said we would need new judges. We would need new courthouses. We would need new holding cells because these people, you can't have them scattered around the country and go looking for them all the time. So you got to go grab them. That's very difficult there. That's time consuming. You could probably streamline the hearing itself in some way, but boy, it's really an impossibility. And look what we've done to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, John O'Connor, appreciate being on the Al Nathan Show to talk about all this. And where can our listeners find out more about the Mysteries of Watergate podcast?
Well, it's not the mysteries, it's the book. Mysteries of Watergate, What Really Happened.
Okay.
And that was the book that everybody ought to pick up. The Mysteries of Watergate, What Really Happened.
All right, listeners, you can go check that out. And we are coming up to a break, but we have more Al Nathan Show on the other side, so stick with us.
According to the Prevent Cancer Foundation's 2025 Early Detection Survey, there's been a change in how often U.S. adults are going to routine medical appointments and cancer screenings, and the change is not a good one. Jody Hoyos is CEO of the Prevent Cancer Foundation.
Our most recent survey revealed that only 51% of adults in the U.S. ages 21 and older say they have had a routine medical appointment or routine cancer screening in the last year. This is a 10 percentage point drop from 2024.
The survey also showed that 73% of adults said they worry when thinking about cancer screenings, but 73% also said that learning the benefits of early detection made them more likely to schedule their routine cancer screenings.
If you've put off a routine screening, you are not alone. But it's better to take charge of your health and find cancer early, because early detection equals better outcomes.
For more information on the cancer screenings you need, go to preventcancer.org. That's preventcancer.org.
When you or a family member are diagnosed with a chronic illness, everything can change, and caregivers learn to manage complicated care schedules on top of their own daily lives. Trisha Fitzgerald is a mom who's been managing treatment not only for herself, but also for her husband and their six children, all of whom suffer from some type of chronic illness. She explains.
Raising a large family is challenging with busy schedules, school functions, let alone when everyone has a chronic illness. So it's important to make sure you have a strong support system. Managing so many medications for eight individuals can be daunting, but CVS Health is my rock. Anytime I have a medication or insurance question, I know who to call for guidance or answers. CVS is a huge corporation, but it feels more like a small town pharmacy down the street where we've known each other for years, and that makes such a difference when I'm managing care for the chronic conditions my family faces.
For more information, visit CVSHealth.com.
Are you excited about being a new grandmother?
Of course I am. A little intimidated, too.
Why?
Taking care of a baby today is so different than when I had you.
But, Mom, you did great with me.
Thanks, son. But I put you on your stomach to sleep.
Right. But now we know that babies should always be placed on their backs to sleep for naps and at night to reduce the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS.
You also slept with blankets and toys in your crib.
True. But now we know to keep everything out of the crib except for my sweet baby girl. No blankets, pillows, or other soft or loose items.
Daddy's going to teach Nana all the ways to keep you safe while you sleep. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
For more tips on safe sleep for babies, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. That's safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave. But unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's H-E-L-P-P-V-A.org.
have ended HHS as the role, as the vector, the principal vector in this country for child trafficking. And during the Biden administration, HHS became a collaborator in child trafficking and for sex and for slavery. And we have ended that, and we're very aggressively going out and trying to find these children, 300,000 children that were lost by the Biden administration.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show. By Silker Joe Show co-host Joe, been filling in for Alan today. Unfortunately, while he is out handling his puppy's illness, but he should be back with you all tomorrow, at least depending on how the vet visit goes. We'll know tomorrow, I suppose. Anyway, what you just heard was a clip of RFK Jr. He was talking about the Health and Human Services role in human trafficking under the Biden administration with all them kids that they lost, and 300,000 of them. And they found out the grim fates that awaited them as they were trafficked. These children are the children that they came across the border, the migrant children that Democrats claim to be worried about. And yet they're telling us that we got to let this sort of thing happen to them, apparently, and that we should have had another 4 years of this sort of thing happening to them, because there would not have been any kind of accountability. It started under the Biden administration. You think it wouldn't have continued if it weren't for RFK Jr. coming in? Or at least for Donald Trump being elected so that RFK Jr. could come in, I should say. So that seems to be the Democrats when they, you know, talk about, oh, Trump is evil for deporting these children who are American citizens or whatever. Now he's keeping the families together, and you're the guys who have been trafficking children for 4 years, so you're one to talk. But speaking of wants to talk, we have this other topic that had gotten to this past hour. It is of how Democrats and Republicans in name only complaining about bringing manufacturing back to America, probably because their profits for these particular politicians are coming in from keeping it overseas. And you have former Biden Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg come out and saying, well, there's just too many regulations to bring manufacturing back anyway, said that in an MSNBC interview, and said that there were so many regulations he and the Biden administration couldn't get much done. But he's part of the government and with all those regulations, and they didn't do anything to cut the regulations. They told us that the regulations were good, and they kept creating jobs for bureaucrats who make these regulations, and they certainly didn't try to fire anybody who was making these regulations. So, in fact, there was that Chevron deference decision from the Supreme Court that Democrats complained about that interfered with all these regulations that Buttigieg is now on MSNBC complaining about, yet Democrats were in favor of them, at least when they were the ones in office. And now that they're out of office, now that deregulating is popular under Trump, they're trying to pretend that they had no part in it or whatever. Or maybe they're just doing this on this particular issue of bringing manufacturing back to the United States because they don't want it here. Democrats and Republicans in name only have their various reasons. Mike Pence, he came out that this is the RINO in particular, the former vice president. He came out and said that he didn't want there to be manufacturing back in the U.S. because Americans have a right to buy cheap goods. So we have a right to get the cheapest goods possible. Yeah, the lowest quality, cheapest goods from countries that literally want to kill us. We're going to trust them. Goods full of poison, electric cars that blow up on you. Yeah, we have a right to get them, don't we? But that's Mike Pence's position on it, that the corporations at the top should be the ones to profit the most. And Democrats, well, that is their position because they're the ones who are at the butt end of the lobbying bribes. But at least what the lip service that they'll say is that, well, American manufacturing, it'll cost too much. There's so much regulation. That's why we didn't do it. There's just too much regulation to deal with. That's why it can't be done. It's got to stay overseas so that things can be affordable for the citizens and the working class, blah, blah, blah. In other words, you can't have a job as a working class person, but hey, you get a cheap good. So at least you can afford it on the nothing that you make. Because you don't have a job, because the manufacturing isn't done here. And then if you press them further, they'll get to the environmental issues. Oh, you can't bring manufacturing back here because it'll pollute the environment, and Americans don't want these jobs anyway because Americans are a bunch of fat, lazy jerk-offs who nobody cares about. So that's why these jobs belong in other countries. And boy, you got to wonder what the unions are doing, because union membership has been on the decline. And yet you have the unions fighting to keep union jobs out of the country by joining up with the Democrats to fight the bringing back of manufacturing. Now, some of them have joined the Trump team for the win on this issue, but Democrats still, they get union control anyway, majority. So there's some splits, but the fracture, total fracture hasn't happened yet. So unions have been competing against their own interests by keeping Democrats in power, Democrats who want to ship their jobs overseas just as much as Republicans did. Well, do and did. Some Republicans under Trump don't want them. They want it here. But Democrats have an interesting policy on this because these are the same ones who are saying that the Republicans are fascist, Republicans want to bring back slavery, Republicans are racist, they want to bring back segregation, and they want to destroy the environment. So what's the Democrats' solution? Let's ship American jobs overseas that poor minorities don't have jobs, as many jobs available. So let's ship these jobs that would go to them overseas instead so that overseas countries can do it unregulated, pollute as much as they care to, and employ slave labor. So on the one hand, Democrats don't want to create relatively, at least paying jobs for people over in America, and they don't want to do it in a way that would be done in the greenest way possible. No, they would rather create slave labor in other countries that pollutes the environment much more than would happen if those jobs were done in America. It seems kind of odd for a party that wants to save the planet and claims to stand for universal moral rights or whatever. I mean, these are the guys who want us to fight and die in Ukraine for democracy. So why are they perfectly willing to allow slave labor in other countries that pollute the environment? It kind of doesn't really make sense when you pick apart their ideology like that until you realize that they are being paid by the corporations to say all this crap, and they are subject to the biggest lobbyists in D.C., and because you don't have a job, because you didn't get that manufacturing job, because it was shipped overseas, you don't really pay enough to lobby, to be one to lobby in D.C., so you're not going to be listened to unless you can get together a bigger group of people like yourself, an activist group. But then again, you know, I don't think they'd listen to the activist groups either unless they're the ones paying for them, like unless they're ran by George Soros or whatever. Like, you know, that the ones who stage all these protests across the country that we see lately, it's a list of activist groups the length of my arm. And I think those are the only ones the Democrats listen to because they're the puppeteers pulling the strings behind the scenes. So they're not going to let a rogue group go into business for itself against the party if it has to. No, they want the ones that are on the strings, like the ones who we're going to see protesting on June 14th during the Flag Day military parades. The No Kings protest, the media is going to paint that as some spontaneous event, but really it's just the Democrat Party pulling its activist class out, much like the riots that we saw in 2020. All a bunch of paid actors for the benefit of the media to pretend they have a story that they don't and try to scare you, the voters. But you listen to The Alan Nathan Show, so you know better. And you can find out more about The Alan Nathan Show on MainStreetRadioNetwork.com and AlanNathan.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.